ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജാചാര്യ കൃഷ്ണപുത്ര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം തേലാപ്രവിഷ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസി ദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ഥം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദി തദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദി കവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യ നേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗണിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഭൂരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹഗാധരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകൊണിദാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിചമ്പദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തി വേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാം യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാനീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം കൃതി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയന്മേനും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരലോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം മുഖം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈ ഗവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേവീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗവദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, in this 18th chapter, Krishna has first spoken about karma, and later on, trigunam, how its effect on jnanam, karma, karta, buddhi, and dhriti and svabhav, the six different ways where the three modes of material nature influences in three different ways: satyam, mode of goodness; passion and ignorance. Those three things. After that, we saw yesterday that Krishna is saying that due to the presence of these three modes of material nature, which presents the karma of action of everyone in this world, Krishna says a division became necessary in the society. That is how the four varnas have come into existence. And we saw yesterday that in Satyugam there was only Brahminical qualities existed in the human society. Only Brahmanas existed. But due to when the Rajogunam got mixed up with that Satyugunam, Kshatriyas were born. Prior to that, Kshatriyas didn't exist. Kshatriyas were, because it became necessary that Kshatriyas to be present with the influence of Rajogunam and in among the Brahmanas when they were infected with Rajogunam. That is how Kshatriyas were born. Similarly, later on, among the same community, when Rajogunam became predominant, they became Vaishyas, the businessmen. This is how business community and labor community and all came up. Labor community all came up. Initially, there was no labor party, or there was no any other party. There was only one party, Brahmana. Now, of course, it has become labor, new labor, like goes on. But what you have to remember is, if you go back to the history, way back, you will see all the members of the society were Brahmanas. They had Brahminical nature. Why? Satyugunam was predominant in the society. Satyugunam was predominant in the society. The result was that the Brahmana society only existed. When they got affected by Rajogunam, the Kshatriya community came up. Administration became necessary. Otherwise there was no need for administration. Everybody was peaceful enough. Only when you require, when there is trouble, then the only administration required, isn't it? Otherwise, what is the need for administration? Government, administration, all this is required because of what? Because of the presence of Rajogunam, predominating Rajogunam. That is when somebody started breaking the law, there must be someone to ask about that. So that is how the administrative group known as the Kshatriyas were born. And similarly, when further they were infected with Rajogunam in a large degree, this business nature built up inside. Everybody wanted to do business each other. Otherwise there was no need for business. Business was not necessary. Material nature was producing sufficient food for their simple life, what was required for the human species. It was provided by the material nature. And this hoarding was not existing in the Satyugam. People didn't store. Whenever they wanted food, they went to the field and collected it. Because their needs were simple. So you can see, perfection is in the beginning. As it goes down, it gets degraded. Not the other way. What we learn today is, we got perfect now, in the beginning everything was imperfect. Is it not? It's totally opposite the truth. The truth is, everything was perfect in the beginning. The Brahmana society is what is expected. The whole society in the Brahminical culture is important. And that's what existed. But when it got degraded or deteriorated, Kshatriyas were born. When it further got deteriorated, Vaishyas were born. They became Vaishya nature. And as we saw yesterday, when all these three Varnam existed to support them, a fourth Varnam was born, which is the Shudra. So, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these four categories were born in due course of time. It was not started by anything, purely due to the influence of the three modes of material nature. So, that is how these two things, three modes of material nature and loss of karma, which is completely influences our existence in this world. So, that is why yesterday when we mentioned about that Krishna is saying here, how the birth of this Varnam, how the four Varnams were born. Krishna has spoken that, we saw it yesterday. And we saw the nature. But there is something much more underlying principle behind it, which probably people don't take notice of. Important thing is that when these Varnams were born, Krishna says that it did not matter which Varnam you belong to.
Ultimately, the goal was, if the person is interested in spiritual life, realizing the self, that is a higher principle than any varnam in this world. Whether you belong to Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham and Sannyasam, that's not important. Important thing is, the principle behind is that whichever varnam one belongs to, has he got that desire to realize the truth inside? If that is there, then Krishna says that is a higher principle. It is based on that, Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying here, that Bhagavata Dharma, principle of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, is to, instead of, irrespective of what activity one is involved in, whatever karma one performs here, everyone has to learn how to convert that action into Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dharma. So that is the goal. That is why we gave these examples yesterday, that in Maharashtra, among those saints, Tukaram was a businessman. Somebody else was a weaver who were weaving clothes. Another person was engaged in a very difficult job, scavenger's job. And other people, another person was, all those great devotees, they were all great personalities. Another person was engaged in, he was a gardener. He grew vegetables. That was his occupation. Another person was a weaver. He was weaving clothes. So different trades, but they were all on the spiritual power, spiritual life. They were all absorbed in the spiritual life. And they all became successful in spiritual path. So they realized Krishna. So that is what, it is based on this principle that you will see here, that in the Manisha Panchakam, a famous creation, Acharya Swamiji mentions there, Jagral Satna Sushupti Shuspudadara Yam Samvidujram Bhade Ya Brahmadi Pipili Kanda Tanishu Prada Jagal Sakshini Saivaham Najadrashyavastudi Drida Pratyabi Yasi Asti Chel Chandalosmi Sadudhijostu Guriritiyasha Manisha Mamam. Acharya says there that Jagral Satna is saying that action in a person is not the deciding factor. Whatever action one performs in this world, that is not the deciding factor. His point is, in Jagrat, vacant state, in the dream state, and in the deep sleep, who is present behind it? In whom these three states are happening? That is what one should look up to. The vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep, in whom it is happening, who is behind it. Just like there is a screen, the cinema is going on in the screen. So many things are going on in the cinema. We don't notice the screen. But similarly here, Krishna is saying, Acharya is saying here, Jagral Sapna Sushupti Su Sputadaram Ya Samvidu Jhumpade. That Vijrambhanam or the manifestation of these three states, where is it happening? First thing. Ya Brahmadi Vibhili Ganda Daneshu Prada Jagal Sakshini. Who is the witness of all our activities, right from Brahma, right up to the small ant in this creation. All these activities of all these living entities, who is observing that? Ya Brahmadi Vibhili Ganda Daneshu Prada Jagal Sakshini. Saivaham naja drishyavasti drida prajna abhiyasi asti chel. That behind all these things, that prajna, that awareness, consciousness, alma, awe. Chanda alostu sadudhijostu gururityesha manisha mamam. If a person, even if he is a chandala, chandala means one who is born in the lowest level, even if he is a chandala, if he is conscious of this thing, then Acharya says there, he is my teacher, he is my spiritual master, because he has realized the truth. So therefore, you will see here that whether if he is a chandala or if he is a brahmana, one who has got the knowledge of the self or awareness of the self inside, he is my spiritual master. Acharya Swamiji says there. And he is worshipable. He is worshipable. So in order to say this point, Krishna has spoken about the three varnam. Not for any other purpose. We have misunderstood. We thought, oh, Krishna has come and divided the society into few groups. That was not the intention. Intention was, no matter who it is, that one who has the awareness inside, that in whose presence all these actions are going on, different kinds of activities. Brahmanas karmam, kshatriyas karmam, vaishyas karmam, shudras karmam. Karmam is different for everybody, is it not? So these four different kinds of karmam, where is it happening? It's happening, and who is the witness? That Alma inside, awareness inside. So one who is aware of all the time of the presence of that awareness inside, in whom all actions are happening, he is a Brahmana. He is the Brahmana. So Krishna didn't want us to worry too much about the three varnam. What he wanted us to understand that, to go back to that source where everything is happening. That is what's the most important thing. To take us back into that original source where all these different actions are happening. Because without the presence of that awareness, where is Brahmana, where is Kshatriya, where is Vaishya, where is Shudra? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all that is based on the awareness inside, isn't it? That means if Satvagunam is predominating, he is fully conscious of the presence of Atma inside, awareness inside. Less for the Kshatriya, less for the Vaishya, and a lot lesser for the Shudra. So therefore the division has come. But irrespective of which section one belongs to, important point Krishna is saying, take notice where is it happening. What is that thing, the background of all these things. And that whoever it may be, whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya, Krishna wants to take us back into that source where it is all happening, and that's the next verse. If you look, you will see there. 45. Sve sve karmanya bhiradha samsiddhim labhate nara स्वकर्म निरतः सिद्धिम् यथा विन्दति तल्श्रुणु स्वे स्वे कर्मण्यभिरता संसिद्धिम् लभते नरा स्वकर्म निरतः सिद्धिम् यथा विन्दति तल्श्रुणु. सो बिकॉज कृष्ण सेज, Krishna is very much aware that people will fight each other in the name of this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Knowing very well that possibility will exist, because generally modes of nature is very strong in the people, in the society, isn't it? We don't require much to fight each other. To pick up a fight is not very difficult. And Krishna knows when this division, Varnam, what Krishna has spoken in the few verses before, where he spoke about 42 about Brahmana, 43 about Kshatriya, and 44 about Vaishya and Shudra. Three verses. So based on these three verses, people will think that I am Brahmana, I am Kshatriya, I am Vaishya and Shudra. Once that division comes, then Krishna expects that there will be some friction based on that. Because that friction should not happen, in the very next verse Krishna says, Sve sve karmani karmanya bhirada sam siddhim labhate nara sokarma nirada siddhim yata vindadi tad shranu. He wanted to say that just because you are a Brahmana, you are not guaranteed. You are not guaranteed liberation. Similarly, if you are a Shudra, it does not mean that you cannot have liberation. Both. As a Brahmana, if you are born, doesn't mean that you are guaranteed liberation. Nor, if you are a Shudra, it does not mean that you cannot have liberation. Either way. So, whichever karmam one is engaged in, how he will attain perfection in that karmam and achieve liberation, that is what Krishna wants to talk about now. That is the reason Krishna immediately turns the subject into, rather than discussing about the varnam, he discusses about liberation. Does not want to discuss about varnam. He is saying here, that engaging in svesve yathoktha lakshana bhede karmani abhiradaha talparaha samsiddhim sukarmanishthan nishthanat ashuddhi kshaye sadi kayendriyanam jnana nishtha yogyada lakshanam labade prapnoti naraha adhikritaha purushaha. Krishna says that irrespective of which varnam one belongs to, as long as he is executing his karma properly, and if he is able, by doing executing it properly, he should get himself purified. Purification of one's existence, that's more important. Both the body, mind and the senses. And if all the impurities are taken away, he gets established in the knowledge. And such a person is ready for liberation. Such a person is ready for liberation. Krishna is saying here. So the question will come then, Kim sokarmanushtanada eva sakshal samsiddhihi. Just by engaging in one's own karma, will one get liberated? Na katham tarhi sokarma niradasiddhyam yadha yena prakarena vindadi tal shrunu. Therefore, no, you won't get liberated because you just engage in sokarma. Suppose you have done as a brahmana your karma, kshatriya as your karma, vaishya has done his karma, or a shudra has done his karma. Just because he has done his karma properly, will he get liberated? No. That is not the answer. What Krishna is saying here is that how it will help to get liberated, Krishna is going to discuss that in the many verses after this. But we'll come to that. So here, that svese karmani abhiradam, Krishna says, often it happens that when a liberated soul comes to this world, people want to see in practical life how it has affected others, isn't it? We want to see that. For example, in Ravana Maharshi's time, after his departure from this world, many people wanted to see somebody who was in that state. A lot of people had a desire, because Ravana Maharshi on his own was a liberated soul, and he was a jnani, realized soul, always established in the Atma. So after his departure, many people wanted to see somebody like that, who had the same, has it hurt anybody, or has it had any impact on somebody else? So in due course of time, one person was there in Mumbai, and the Sargadatta Maharaj's story is that he is that book he wrote, I Am That, that famous book what he wrote. And he didn't know any other language except Marathi. And one person has recorded that and translated that into English and then printed it out and distributed all over the world. So the result was that because of those books were distributed in that way at that time, many people from all over the world came over to see him, to see Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he was not educated. He had no education. And not only that, his occupation was also not very commendable. You engage in manufacturing, making these bidis, like the cigarettes, isn't it? The bidis, he manufactured them. That is what Krishna is saying here. Sve sve karmani abhiradaha. What does that mean? Whatever karma has come to him, he was doing that. He didn't change. Krishna has not told anyone to change the karma. Sve sve karmani abhiradaha. In other words, he says here, somebody asked him to Nisargadatta Maharaj, that is it proper for you to make these bidis? Because should the karma not be a proper one, good karma? Because bidi means what? You are actually, those people who buy them, they smoke, and then they get sick, isn't it? They die, probably due to, like cigarettes, isn't it? So effect is not very good. So what was his reply? He says, before I realized the truth, and before all this Vedantam, everything came to me, this is what I started my life with, doing this work. And I know that this BD may be destroying somebody's health. I am aware of that. But this is the only work I know in my life. I don't know anything else. He said. So, but I will not ask you to do this work, he said. But this is what has come to me. Yes, my prarabdham or my karma. This is what has come to me. And he lived in a very remote place in a huge city where people generally won't go because it is a very poor area. And in a very small building in one corner, he stayed there without any facilities. No proper facilities for toilets, bathrooms, everything. But he was living there as a householder with four children. And the person was realized the truth. He has realized the truth. So normally we will think, oh, self-realized souls means there will be beautiful ashram surrounded by beautiful gardens everywhere, properly signposted, where to park the car, where the chief executive stays, like in a first class, what you call it, the modern modern companies. Similarly, if we see that, oh, the self-realized soul must be here. This is what our head will tell us, isn't it? We get this idea. Somehow or the other it gets in. Because he must be self-realized. Otherwise, all these facilities, how Krishna's, we will say like this, Krishna has given all these facilities to him. So, we think like that and we go searching there, that it's there, we have to find it. But, we will think, but, when you go there, you don't find that. What you find is something different, isn't it? So, here, people from all over the world was coming. And they were coming from wealthy places. The person who wrote the book was from Holland, who wrote the book in English. The book, what they call it as the I Am That. That book was, he was Morrison, I think his name. And he distributed the book worldwide. And the result was that people came from all over. And they had to find our Nisargadatta Maharaj, who was living in this awkward place, in a very remote place in the Bombay city. And they had very, it was hard enough for them to get to Bombay, but then finding out this place is more difficult. Most of them have found it very, very hard. And they found that in this slum, this person is sitting there making the bidis with the hand. And he self-realized how difficult it is. Imagine the person who comes to see him. Spend all the money and the time to come and see him. And this is what he's seeing there. So, and in remote corner, nobody else normally will go there. No, and right in front of his place where he was doing his work, it was the municipality toilet. That was right in front of that place where he was living. And the building where he was living was almost ready to fall down. It was in a very bad shape. So, and there these people had come to see him. And then these people were very inquisitive to find out. Because when they read the book, it was so effective. They were amazed by the knowledge in that book, of the power of the self inside, working in someone in that way. And when he got there, they saw this person. He had four children, and he was living there making his bidis, an ordinary householder. But what was inside? Powerful knowledge inside, realization of the self. So the important point is, if somebody has a knowledge of that kind and realization of the self, you won't be able to hide it. It will come out somehow. Whatever dress you put on, ultimately, if he has the self-realization inside, the world will come to know about it one day or the other. So, knowledge, if he goes and hides anywhere, in any community, any caste, it doesn't matter, or in any family, in anywhere in the world, he takes birth, it will come out at the end. Because the very nature of Brahmavidya is, if it is experienced somewhere, it will come out. Suppose somebody has experienced it, it will come out. That is the nature of Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is something you can't hide it inside. And that you will see in the Bhagavatam. Jadabharata's case, if you look, you'll see what happened. Because inside is knowledge, and that you fully realized. When fully realized, that knowledge cannot stay inside. It will come out in the world. It will come out in the world. Outside people may not understand that. What is this happening with this person? isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, samsiddhim lebade nara. See that word? Sve sve karmani abhiradha. Samsiddhim lebade nara. Samsiddhim lebade nara. It will come out. It won't stay inside. Samsiddhim lebade nara. That a person who has taken it. Because Krishna is not asking that he has to change his karma. Just because he was doing, making these bidis, Krishna didn't ask him to change or anything. And Nisargadatta knew very well, when he was making these bidis, body is doing the karma. I have nothing to do with it. That total realization inside. I have nothing to do. Body is doing something. Because from the early days in life, he must have started it when he was probably 8 or 10 years old. Not such early life they start this work. So in a society, and he has done it throughout his life. Throughout his life he did that. And he never gave it up. Even after this book was written, visitors had come from all over, he never gave up his job. Work continued with that. Because he knew very well that the body has its prarabdham. Body was come, body has its prarabdham, and that is destiny. And while situated within this body, executing that prarabdham, what has come to that, he continued with his sadhana and self-inquiry within that state. And he became perfect. This is what has happened to him. Because all actions begins from the self, and manifests outside in the body and goes back and dissolves in the self. Self is the one which is the engine behind all our karma. We think we are doing the karma, is it not? What did Dhruva Maharaj say? He said that, isn't it? If you look into the Dhruva Stuti, you will say this. The first verse, Dhruva Stuti. Yonda pravishya mimavaja mimam prasuptam sanjeevayatyagila shakti dharaswatam nam anyam chahasta charana shravanam tugadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. That every action, yonda pravishya mamavaja mimam prasuptam, able to speak and sanjeevayatyagila shakti dharaswatam nam. Where is the power coming from that? Coming from Atma. Without Atma's presence, no karma is possible. Whether you are making BD or whether you are doing any executive job, it doesn't matter. Every karma, unless it is sanctioned by the Atma inside, it cannot happen. That is the most important point. So, because it has come from Atma's sanction, Atma's approval is necessary for the karma to happen. And therefore, every karma comes from Atma, stays in the body and the mind, and then it goes and dissolves in the... When karma vasana is over, karma stops and goes and dissolves in the Atma. It cannot anymore function in that way. So, therefore, the source is important. Not the karma is important, not the varnam is important. Source is important. That is the siddhanta. That is the principle. And that is the point Krishna is trying to get to us through these verses. That what kind of karma you do is not important. What kind of varnam you belong to is not important. Where the source, where all the varnam and all the karma is happening, that source if you have touched, that's the end of it. Then there is no more discussion about varnam or karma. We are busy with the varnam and karma. That's where things go wrong. And that is how problem starts. Krishna had no intention to make this issue of varnam as a matter of conflict in the society. Obviously, in the early days, people had this understanding, so there was no complications. But when people lost that proper understanding of the purpose of the varnam, problem started. What Krishna is saying to us is, whatever varnam it may be, doesn't matter. And in different varnam, there will be different karma according to the varnam. Varnam, karma is all based on the modes of nature. Trigunam, isn't it? Trigunyal bhinna bodham. Bhavadihi bhuvine hina madhyamottamam yat jnanam shraddha kartaja vasadir abhisudham karma chahara bheda. Karma is all influenced by the modes of nature. Karma is influenced by the modes of nature, and therefore it is under the prakriti, under prakriti, is it not? Krishna's point is, both varnam, karmam, and trigunam, the three modes of nature, varnam, karmam, and trigunam, all three of them is under prakriti. It cannot touch Atma inside. Atma is independent. That is what the point Krishna is making here. He is telling us, try to understand this, he says. He says, you are giving importance to other things, things which are not important. What varnam one belongs to. That is why he is saying, sve sve karmani abhirade sam siddhim labhade naraha so karma nirada siddhim yadha vindadital shrunu. See there? Sve sve karmani abhiradaha sam siddhim labhade naraha so karma nirada siddhim yadha vindadital shrunu. If you look into the verses, in the translation also, by following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Krishna never said only Brahmana can become perfect. Now, please hear from me how this can be done. So, sve sve karmani abhirada, whatever karma has come to him in life, you have to do that. But, sam siddhim labhade naram, how you can turn that karma into perfection, that is what Krishna is going to talk in the next few verses. That's the most important part. It's not that, oh, to say that, oh, the society is divided into Brahmana, Kshatriya. Only if you are a Brahmana, you will become perfect. Krishna never said that. Even Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Striyo, Vaishya, Stada, Shudra, Sebiyandi, Parangadim. Krishna says that before in the 9th chapter. Isn't it? So, the principle is this. Varnam is not important. Karmam is not important. Or the gunam is not important, but how to become the perfection in there. That is what Krishna is talking about. If you look at the next verse, you will see that. So, here, Krishna says that last few verses before, Krishna spoke about karma. Let's get that little bit more clearer. That subhava niyanam karmam. Based on the subhavam, karmam will happen. Karmam, generally what we mean by karmam is action, isn't it? Action. We take it in that way, to act. That's karma. But if you look into Shastram, the word karmam is not just action. When you say action, it means something you do with your mind and the body. That's all karma. That's all we address. But karma in the Shastra means, if you say, action is only a finishing point in karma. Action is only a finishing point. That karma is finishing there. But karma begins much before than that. Karma begins a lot before than that. From the very first moment, that means before the thought has developed in you, karma has started to engage in some action. Before you have thought about that, the action is already, before action has started, way before that, in the form of thought, in the form of vasana, it is already there inside. Because it's a vasana that creates the thought wave inside. So that vasana stage itself, the karma has begun inside. Kamastha dagre, samavartha dagre, hiranya garbhasya vartha dagre, buddhasya nevabhati egam asid. Rigvedam says about this karmam, how it works. That hiranyagarbham is that viral swarupam of Krishna in the creation. How creation came into existence, if you read the second canto, you will see there. That in the hiranyagarbham state, there was a movement in the Brahman, and from there the creation happens. So there, that movement, the first movement itself is karma. Is karma. So, basically when Krishna is saying karma here, he is referring to our svabhavam, our nature. Our nature. So, it is based on that, Krishna said Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, the four varnam, he said. So there, based on that swabhavam or the nature of a person among these four, he said the karma will follow that nature. The karma, what he does, will follows nature. So it is not discussed so much in the Bhagavad Gita, but a lot discussed in the Mahabharata. That is why Mahabharata got absorbed in that discussion of this thing called karma. But one thing you have to remember, this thing called swabhavam. Swabhavam is what we call as one's nature. It's nature. It's like a jail. Prison it is. It's like a prison, isn't it? So what we call it as swabhavam or prakriti or character, whatever we call it, according to that you can work in this world. Only according to that you can work in this world. That is the prison. That suppose I have certain nature in me, I can only function along according to that nature. I can't change that nature. And that can be good and that can be bad. That is another issue. Krishna is not bothered about that. What Krishna is saying to us is, try to understand this, that Krishna says that you can only work in this world according to your swabhava, according to your prakriti. Because in Mahabhagavatam, you remember when Kaliya was subdued, Krishna danced on Kaliya's goods for a long time. Kaliya started vomiting all the poison, everything. And Krishna says to Kaliya, why are you spitting out this poison? Why are you doing that? Kaliya says to Krishna, this is what you have given it to me. If you have given me nectar, I will spit out nectar. You have put poison inside me, so I am throwing out poison. He said, my fault, he said. It's quite a logical answer, isn't it? What Kaliya can do? This is what I got. That was Kaliya's logic. So, if you give it to me, nectar inside me, I will spit nectar outside, he said. So, that is why Kaliya said to Krishna, if you look at the words carefully, you will see, Swabhavo dustejo nadha, Kaliya says to, my swabhavam I can't change. Who says? Kaliya. Kaliya says to Krishna, my swabhavam I can't change. That is in me, it's already there. And what should I do with it? Kaliya asked Krishna. So I've got poison and I'm offering this to you. And that's what he was offering to Krishna. This is what I've got, I'm offering that to you. So that is called prakriti or swabhavam in a person. Swabhavam in a person. So that prakriti is there in all of us. That prakriti is there in all of us. It will not go away easily from us. And only thing what you can do is, prakriti won't go. You have to transcend the prakriti. You have to go beyond the prakriti. So, go beyond this nature, your character, what they call to transcend, but you need not change the prakriti. Now, if you look at Nisargadatta's case, you will see there, he kept on doing that, but it was not affecting him anymore. He was not identifying with the karma what he was doing. There is another personality in the Bhagavatam, Dharmavyadha, who was a butcher. You remember? Krishna quotes him as an example of a realized person in the Bhagavatam. That story is there. It is there in the Yoga Vasishtam also, the same story in detail. So you can see there, Krishna did not consider them as low class or in any way lower. When Krishna returned to Dwaraka, after visiting Hastinapur, spending a lot of time with the Pandavas, you will see in the Bhagavatam, he comes back to Dwaraka and he goes around everywhere. And in those days also, there were people who could not come very closer to him. They had to stay far behind. Krishna goes up to them and shook hands with them. He did not see any differences. We take all this very seriously. Difference in the karma, is it not? Krishna didn't. He didn't take. Karma is something that is happening in the prakriti. It is happening, it's a swabhavam it is in a person. So he did not take notice of that. He says here that that to remove that swabhavam is difficult. But even if you change somebody's swabhavam, He has to have some other svabhavam, isn't it? So you can't be without anything. Something has to be there. Suppose you make a kshatriya into brahmana or brahmana into kshatriya, whichever way you do it. He has to be either brahmana or kshatriya, or vaishya or shudra. Krishna's point is it not better to act according to your own nature rather than changing it? This is the point Krishna is making. That you have some nature in you, according to the nature act in this world, whatever it may be, it does not matter. But rather than changing it, which is not your nature, what will happen? You cannot do it properly and you will cause problems for others as well, if you act in the different way. So therefore, as long as we are within the grip of Prakriti, you cannot remain without Sattvagunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam. One of the gunam will be there dominating us all the time. So according to that, it is not possible to change anything. So that action, karma, based on that Prakriti of the nature, that can be any of them. What Krishna said before, Shamam damam tidich, Shamam dabash tapas shaujam, Chandi arjavam evaja, Jnanam vijnanam astikyam, Brahma karma svabhavajam. Brahmana's nature based will be like this. If these qualities are coming to him in a person, then his karma will follow that. Shamam, damam, tapasa, shaujam, 42 verse. Shandi, arjavam, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam. If these qualities are coming forcefully in a person's svabhavam, then his karma will be brahma karma. Brahmana karma will come out through him. That's all it says. Similarly, Shauryam Tejasa Dridi Dakshyam Yuddhejabi Abalayanam Dhanam Ishwara Bhavam. If these actions are coming out from a person, then you can say the karma will be Kshatram. Karma will be Kshatram. Then Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam. If it is coming out from a person's karma, then he has a Vaishya karma coming through him. Similarly, Parijaryalmagam karma is a Shudra nature in him. That's all it is. But we make it in a different way, make it very complicated. But what Krishna's point is that it does not matter which karma it is. Karma is not what decides where one should go. So, according to, if suppose these different kinds of svabhavam is present in a person, accordingly, we will learn pick up things from this world. Because why do we pick up such things? Because we have that svabhavam inside us. That is why we go after a particular kind of action in this world. And let remain it as it is. Just like if you get the body of a dog, you have to bark. Is it not? Suppose you are given the body of a dog, what will you do? You have to bark. That is the job. And similarly, Prakriti has put something in us. These different things, what we saw in the last three verses. Brahmana's qualifications, qualities, Kshatriya qualities, Vaishya qualities, Shudra qualities in people. So accordingly they have to act. That's all it is. Just like a dog is given certain svabhavam by the Prakriti. So the dog is doing that part, his role in this world. Similarly, in the human species also, Krishna has put certain things in us. Prakriti has put certain things in us, which is called svabhavam. Kaliya says, you have put poison in me, I am throwing it out. So we also in the same way, we are not much different that way. Krishna has put certain svabhavam in us, and that's what we discussed in those three verses. Based on that, our karma will follow in the same way. And Krishna is saying here, with that Prakriti or svabhavam, you can serve me. You can serve Krishna. He says here. And how can that be done? He says here, Sve Sve Karmani Abhirada. Sve Sve Karmani Abhirada. Samsiddhim Labhade Naraha. So karma nirada siddhim yatha vindadi tarushranon. So that is what he is saying here, that Sese karmani abhirada. Sese karmani abhirada samsiddhim labhade nara. Sokarma nirada siddhim yatha vindadi tal shrunu. How to use that svabhavam in a person to serve Krishna. To serve Krishna. That is what Krishna is discussing here. So, that means whatever actions that comes through this body, karma that comes through this body, how can that be executed at the same time developing spiritual knowledge and self-realization? That is the important point Krishna is discussing here. How that very actions, with the help of knowledge, it will become our prakriti and our experience in this world. All these things. First thing Krishna is saying here is that this prakriti, what is inside us, or our svabhavam, what is inside us, whether it is Brahmana svabhavam, Kshatriya svabhavam, Vaishya svabhavam, or Shudra svabhavam, doesn't matter, whatever it may be. Accordingly, our experiences in this world and all our actions in this world, Krishna says, where is that happening? Where is that happening? That's the first question. See here, that's the only question we have to ask. That is the important thing Krishna is stressing here. That, for example, a cinema is going on in the screen. There is the villain hero and all other actors and actresses, everyone on the screen. And if you look at the screen, a lot of things are happening there. War is, fighting is going on. And some people are having loving relationship with each other. And other people are, some people are getting murdered there in the screen. And somewhere, some baby is taking birth. A new child is born. So many things are happening on the screen, isn't it? So, when all these different things are happening, for example, the war, the fighting, the taking birth, death, making love, all kinds of things, none of them has any impact on the screen, isn't it? Screen is same, but all actions are happening on the screen. And when somebody is shot, blood is coming out in the battlefield, blood is coming out, and sometimes you see heavy rain is happening on the screen. Or there is a big fire in the screen. Or there is a big war going on. In spite of all that, the screen is unaffected. Screen doesn't get burned because the fire is going on. Screen doesn't get wet because there is a heavy rain in the screen. Isn't it? So, what do we understand from that? Because nothing is touching the screen, similarly, when all this karma is going on, through this body, behind that, behind our experience level, that where this, what we call it as adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is the Atma. Atma is present there, therefore all this karma is happening. Otherwise karma cannot happen. Because Atma is present there, the karma is happening. So, what Krishna is saying here is, go back to adhishtanam. Don't get stuck in this screen, in the film. Go back to the screen. This is all what Krishna is trying to tell us here. Go back to the screen. Don't get stuck in the cinema. Normally nobody goes to the screen. We don't check the screen when you go to see the cinema. That's the same problem here also. That Krishna is saying here that our body, its activities, our ego, false ego, pride, all these things are happening where? Because of the presence of Atma inside. So earlier, if you remember, Krishna told us that the adhishtanam for karmam is the body. Remember? Some few verses ago. And along with the body, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and the results from that karma, and so many other things we impose on the based on that on us. For example, a person who is doing different kinds of job, he will take that identity. Say, policeman's job, if somebody is doing, he will think, all, he will become conscious always, I am a policeman. Or an engineer, or a doctor, or a lawyer, whatever it may be. So that is called adhyarobam. Adhyarobam. Adhyarobam means imposing that, superimposition. Superimposition. So, when all these things are happening, where does that adhyarobam happens? In your awareness. You start becoming that, is it not? Alma starts becoming, because of its strong identity with a particular designation, it starts becoming that. Like emotions, when we get some emotions, anger, we become the anger. And equally, when any false identity we take, Alma tends to follow that. Alma tends to follow that. So, for example, suppose there is a rope lying here and mistakenly you took it as the snake. So what happens then? The adhishtanam or the base is the rope. Snake is something that is superimposed on the rope. Is it not? What we have falsely imposed this identity of a snake on that rope. But rope is the adhishtanam. If the rope is not there, snake is not there. In the Bhagavatam, this example is spoken a few times. So, similarly, all these actions, karmam, whether Brahmana karmam, Kshatriya karmam, Vaishya karmam, or Shudra karmam, no matter which karmam happens, the adhishtanam or the screen behind it is, that is the most important thing. Where is it happening? Instead, we get busy with what karmam we are doing, which section we belong to. And that is what Krishna is saying, to come out from that. So, if you become conscious of that adhishtanam, or the basis, or the on which it is happening, then you have come out of the problem. Otherwise, this problem will never end. To fight each other based on Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is completely based on the body. It is nothing to more than that. And one who has proper knowledge, he will not go in that direction. So, you can see that both we see in the screen, when you see a cinema, the hero as well as the heroine. But person who is watching the film, he is not bothered about the screen. He is bothered about the hero or the heroine, isn't it? And similarly, when you are in a dream state, while in the dream state, what is happening there? We are busy with the dream, is it not? We are busy with the dream. Till you are woken up from that dream, you are not conscious about yourself. You are conscious about the dream. What is going on in the dream? So, similarly, when you come out from the film, what impact the film had on you while you are watching the film, you can see that it is a false thing. When you are woken up from the dream, you realize it that it was a dream. It has had no effect on us. But while watching, experiencing the dream, you were affected by that. You are suffering there in the dream, or you are enjoying the dream, whichever way it is. When you are in that state, you are accepting that as reality. But once you are taken out of that state, that reality has gone. Is it not? See, the swapnam, dream state is like that. When you are in the dream state, when you are experiencing the dream, you take that as real at that point. As soon as you are woken up from the dream, that dream state has gone. Then you start saying, oh, it was just a dream. But when you are in the dream, you don't say, no, I'm just dreaming. You don't say that, do you? You are enjoying that dream or suffering in that dream, whatever it may be. Similarly, Krishna's point is, when you are in the vacant state also, why do you say it's real? This is the question. When you came out of the dream, you are willing to say that it was a dream and reject it. In the same way, while in the vacant state also, you are taking that this is the real one, that's a dream. Krishna says this is equally a dream. Only thing is, you are not able to wake up from this dream, whereas from the other dream, you are able to wake up. That's the only difference. There's no much difference otherwise. And waking up from this dream is called self-realization. That's most of the people have a problem there, isn't it? Somehow the other, they have taken that this is real. The other one is a dream. So we take this so seriously and start making all arrangements to make it perfect, and that this should work very well. Krishna is saying, this is your biggest foolishness. That was a dream, this is as well a dream. It's not much different. Only thing is, that this is relatively lasting a little longer time than the other one. Once you wake up from this dream, then you will know. That is why all the realized souls say this, after they have woken up from this dream. I got out of this dream as well. They are saying that, isn't it? So this screen example is very limited because of its limitations. So in our experience level, if you take that, just like when you have a screen, you have got the light, the projector, the film, everything. Separately. You have, everything is separate, isn't it? Projector, the film, the light, everything. But here what we have got is that, and that there is only one adhishtanam inside Atma, pure consciousness. It is in the presence of that pure consciousness, all these different actions are going on. All these different actions are going on. So he says here, Krishna's point is, it is in this consciousness that mode of goodness is coming up. It is when the consciousness is present, mode of goodness comes up. Mode of passion, rajogunam also comes up there, tamogunam also comes up there. All comes up there, why? Because behind that, this adhishtanam or screen is present. Or screen is present. And it is based on this principle, the first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam has been written. You have not probably thought about that verse enough. That is why you are just reading the translation going along with it. Vamshidhara, there was a famous commentator on the Bhagavatam. He has explained this verse, first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in 100 different ways. It is such a deep verse. Janmadhyasya yato anvayaditaradas charteshu abhijnaswaran tene brahma hridaya adigavaye mukhyandiyal suraya Tejo varimrudam yathavinimayo yatratri sargo mrasha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. If you look into that verse very carefully, you will see there Janmadhyasya yataha Vedavyasa Maharshi Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Sutram, that is Janmadhyasya yataha. And that is the verse in the Vedanta Sutram. Janmadhyasya yataha. And same thing comes in the Yoga Sutram also. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram also. Vedanta Sutram is based on the Vichara Pradhanam. Vichara Pradhanam means that it is more based on thought power. On the thought power. Yoga Sutram, when it says Chittavritti, Yoga Sutra, Yoga Chittavritti Nirodhaha. Chittavritti Nirodham is Yoga Sutram. Chittavritti Nirodham. For example, Chittavritti means thought waves. Completely stopping the thought waves. That is the Chittavritti Nirodham. That is mentioned there. So, in Chittavritti Nirodham in Yoga Sutram, Janmadhyasya yadaha in the Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram. So, Janmadhyasya yadaha, that Sutram, what does it say? In whose, that actual commentary on that is, in whose presence Janma Adi Yasya Adaha, Yasya, Janma Adi Yasya Yadaha, in whose presence things are taking birth, things are happening and things are disappearing. All the three things. Things that takes birth, things that get sustained and things gets destroyed eventually. In other words, the very first line itself in the Bhagavatam is pointing out to that adhishtanam or the basis. So, if you have seen that adhishtanam or the background, what is addressed here as janmadya seyataha, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying here that if you have seen that, chittavritti nirodham will happen immediately. Because we have not seen the adhishtanam inside, chittavritti keeps on going. We are not able to stop it, isn't it? Why is that? Because we got absorbed in the chittavritti. So both Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram pointing out to the same thing. It's a difficult thing that when Krishna, what Vedavyasa is saying here is that if you have touched janmadya sayadaha, janmam janmadya sayadaha, that means chittavritti is taking birth somewhere inside. And that chittavritti flows through and that chittavritti disappears. Karmam takes birth. Karmam happens, action happens. Karmam disappears. Similarly, everything when you look, you will see all these things are happening because in the background, Atma is there. And if you have known that Atma and realized Atma, then chittavritti will stop, karmam will also stop. That is the principle. That's what Krishna is explaining here. That so it is because that all these different activities, whether you are a Brahmana and the activities of the Brahmana, or a Kshatriya as a Kshatriya, Vaishya as a Vaishya, or a Shudra as a Shudra, whatever it may be, or who is putting this dress on, that Atma inside, he puts the dress and says, sometimes I am a Brahmana, I am a Shudra, he says. And all these dresses are coming from him. And he remains in that dress for some time and finally it goes back and dissolves in him, that dress. Dress is temporary. He is permanent. That's the important thing. So don't give importance to the dress, importance to the vastu inside. That is what that verse is talking about. Janmadyasya yadonvaya idaradascha chartesh abhinyaswarad. That he is independent. He can do what he wants. He can come as a Brahmana, he can come as a Shudra when he wants. He is unaffected by all of that. So all these dresses, they are born from whom? And they are there because of his presence and they disappear when he wants them to disappear. That's what it is. That's all Krishna is talking about here. So at the same time, when he appears as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, he has not changed. He still remains the same. And he stays behind of all these things. And he comes as Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmana. And you can notice there also. And that experience is present in throughout his body and the subtle body. Gross body and the subtle body. This has happened, why? Because he has accepted that identity as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra and immediately it affects his gross body and affects his subtle body as well. Everything we have to look from the very beginning. We shouldn't look from outside and start studying things. Inside story is more important. So here Krishna says here, that suppose you have a lot of emotions inside. You have bhakti, you have lust, you have anger, and so many other things. Ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion. All these emotions are coming and going here. But in all these emotions, who is present? If consciousness is not there, these emotions cannot exist, can they? Emotions are coming out from us because of the presence of consciousness inside, which we have never thought about. All what happened to us was, we went out and identified with particular emotions and we started thinking that I am suffering, I am enjoying because of that particular emotions. Instead, Krishna says that the very existence of that emotion in a person is purely due to the presence of consciousness inside. Krishna doesn't want to talk about these emotions and the other things. More important than that for Krishna is that knowledge of the self inside, awareness inside. So what is present in all these chittavritti, they are all chittavritti. Kamam, krodham, lobham, lust, anger, greed, all of them are chittavritti, thought waves. Who is present feeling in that thought waves is this Atma inside. And you can see there, Krishna says there, you have to check whether there is a space in between, between the thought waves. So, and from where it all originates from, all these thoughts are originating from. And just like, they give the example, in the sky, suppose the dust is suddenly thrown out. And for the dust to appear, you require a space. That is the space. That is the space. Similarly, all these thought waves to develop, we require a space inside, and that is consciousness. That is the consciousness. And they appear, and they remain for some time, and eventually they disappear, isn't it? But that sky inside, which is Atma, like the sky outside where the dust happens, similarly there is a sky inside where the thought waves develops. Krishna says here, if you keep attending to that, give your attention there, then that is called yoga. That is called yoga system. Yoga system. So Krishna says that give attention to that. Give attention to that. Janmadhyasa yadonnoyad itaradascha. Annoyad itaradascha janmadhyasa yadaha. Srimad Bhagavatam is completely dependent on that one verse. All one verse is complete. Bhagavatam is centered around that verse. And this has been explained in so many different ways. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has explained in one way. Sridharajari Swamiji has explained in another way. Madhusudana Saraswati explained in another way. Veeraraghava explains in another way. Different ways. Vallabhajari explained in another way. Vamshidhara has explained another way. So they all have something to say based on this one Janma Adhyasya Yadaha. Janma Adi Asya Yadaha. Janmadhyasya Yadonvayad Idharadascha Chartesh Abhijnaswaran. Anvayad Idharadascha Janmadhyasya Yadaha. Anvayad Idharadascha Janmadhyasya Yadaha. That particular verse. So where all our thought waves are taking birth and they remain and then they disappear. If you look at ourselves, you can see when anger comes, where has it come from? And where is it remaining, staying for some time when you are angry? And after a while, where does it disappear? And when the anger is gone? You have to ask that question. We don't ask that question. We never think about that, isn't it? Only thing is, when you get angry, you get angry. And then you start fighting or arguing about it something. That's gone then. After a while, when it goes, we don't ask, how did it go? Where has it gone? We don't ask that question, do we? Or when it comes, we don't ask the question, where did that come? That is more interesting. Where it came from and where it's gone. Rather than where is it staying. We know where it's staying, it's in us. That doesn't require much explanation, isn't it? But where did that come from? Atma. If Atma is not there, it wouldn't have come. And if Atma is not there, it wouldn't have gone. It cannot come unless Atma is there. Consciousness is not there. And if Atma has not gone, Atma is not there, it won't go. It will stay. It has to stay. So in order for the particular emotion to take birth, to stay and to go away, they require a space. And that is Atma, consciousness in other words. So when there is these different emotions, whether they are there or they are not there, Atma is still there. Consciousness is there, isn't it? Whether these thought waves are coming, whether they are staying, whether they go away, it doesn't matter. If they are not come, still he is there. If they have gone away, still he is there. Similarly, when you are engaged in karmam, karma, when you are doing that, you are thinking, I am doing, isn't it? But when I am not doing the karma, am I not there? We don't think that, do we? When you are doing the karma, you think, I am doing everything. But when you are not doing the karma, do you think I am there? You are still there or not? How do we think at that time? That I'm going to visit there. Isn't it? So, only when you are thinking about it, this, I am existing. Suppose when you are doing the karma, oh, I have done this, I have done that, all sorts of things. I am the doer. Isn't it? So, when you are not thinking like that, am I not existing then? So, whether you are thinking that I am doing, you are thinking I am not doing, or when you are not thinking, or similarly when you are doing karma, you are there. When you are not doing karma, also you are there. You are always there. They are all coming, going, coming, going. Isn't it? So, so that is why Krishna is saying here, is it possible to make it this, my existence, without the presence of karma and without the presence of thought waves? And if you can do that, you will know that there you have no problem without karma and without thought waves. And it is only for that purpose Krishna is saying you have to know awareness. What awareness means? You see, at the moment we are thinking like this, that when karma I am doing, I think I have done this, I have done that. But we don't think that when karma is not there, am I not there? Similarly, when thought waves are coming, you are thinking, I thought about this, I thought about that, so many things I am thinking, I am doing. But when thought waves are not there, am I not there? That is the question. So, without karma, without the presence of karma, without the presence of thought waves, how to make the mind? To make the mind without karma and without thought waves. Why? Then you will know that there is nothing wrong with you. Today we are thinking that karma and thought waves, that is constantly present in us. And we are thinking all the time when karma is there or thought waves are there, we identify strongly with it. Once you take away karma and the thought waves, then the how to make that situation with the mind. Because they are all in the mind happening. Mind is nothing but another force that's come from Atma, is it not? So, if you can take away the karma and take away the thought waves from inside, you will know that there is nothing wrong with you. Unfortunately, we think that there is a lot of problems we'll have. But only to make us aware of that. Due to our association, because of that only, these thought waves and actions have happened. Thought waves and actions have happened. And similarly, the important point is that when we do the identification is the problem. Identification with a particular thoughts or actions. If you take that away from inside, that means your karmam or chitavati. If that is taken away, and you knowing that you are still existing at that time. At the moment we don't think like that. We come into action or we come into this identity very strongly when there is thought waves in the mind or when there is action with the body or the mind. That is when we identify. But we ignore the fact when action is taken away, all action stopped, all thought waves have taken away and I am still existing at that time. And that is that awareness Krishna is saying here. You will know that you are not that action and you are not that thought waves. You are not that action or the thought waves. So, so it is at that point you will become conscious that all these thought waves have born in me, stayed in me and they left me afterwards. All karma was come out from me, stayed in me for some time and later on they disappeared. Once you know that, you will realize it that I am not dependent on the karma, I am not dependent on the thought waves. That's happening to us. So, and if that experience becomes permanent inside us, in that case, and your attention falls on that, then all our karma, all our thoughts will become a worship of the Supreme Lord, worship of Krishna. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Remember this. Kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrute subhaval karomi yadyad sagalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. That narayanayedi samarpayami happens at that time. This is through the thought process, making that happen. That analysis of this verse is pointing out to that. See, that verse is connected with this next verse, what we are going to look at it now. So, when in that state, when you realize that, Antaryami who is present inside, Antaryami who is present inside, not realizing that, due to the Antaryami's presence only, all the actions are going on in this body. Whereas what happens to us, we identify with the false ego and think that false ego is the one, I am that false ego, and I identify with the false ego instead of identifying with the Antaryami. And therefore what happens, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, builds up inside. Similarly, when thought waves are coming, we identify with different emotions. Again, who identifies? Ahankaram identifies. So all the thought waves, emotions coming from lust, anger, greed, pride, and all such things is not for Antaryami. Antaryami will never have such things. He won't allow that. Ahankaram accepts all that. False ego accepts all that. So it's a false ego who suffers, not the Antaryami. But once we realize that, it is due to the presence of Antaryami that all these emotions are coming, staying, going away. Action is coming, staying, going away. If this realization comes, then that worship, actions that you are executing then, is what that verse is saying. Kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyatmanava prakrite subhaval karomi yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. That is narayanayedi samarpayami. So, without knowing these principles, simply reciting the verse is no good. Without understanding what that verse is referring to, that proper understanding of that verse is necessary. That ahankaram always wants to identify with the different thoughts, emotions, actions, ownership, and creates ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion. Everything is centered around the false ego. But when we realize that, ahankaram also cannot stay in the absence of Antaryami inside. When Antaryami is present inside, only then ahankaram can stay. So when we realize that, all these emotions, all these thought waves and all the actions are all happening because of the presence of Antaryami. In his absence it cannot happen. When you realize that Antaryami is the source where it's coming from, and when you start accepting that completely inside, then kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyatmanava prakrite svabhaval. According to the svabhavam, karma is happening. Is it not? That you can't change. That svabhav, that Krishna is not asking us to change it either. He said, whatever karma is coming through, according to the svabhavam, let it happen. But be aware of this fact, that it is not due to the Antaryami, it is not happening due to the presence of the false ego inside. Instead, it is due to the presence of the Antaryami. So, in that situation, every karma that's happening through that body will go back to its source. Karma will have no effect on the person anymore. As soon as we become conscious of the Antaryami. Again, you can see the realization of the self Krishna is stressing here. Not about the karma. Not about the karma. So, that is what he mentions here. So, and these things, what Bhagavatam is talking about, and Krishna is saying here also in the Bhagavad Gita, that the only way you can go back to Antaryami is to use those forces that's coming from the Antaryami. Because they have come from Antaryami. Just like if you want to come to this place, you have come to say Watford Junction Station, and you ask somebody, where is center point? Somebody says to you, oh, I've just come from there, I'm going there, you can come with me. And he can take you here straight away because he's coming here. Similarly, all those things what's coming from Antaryami, if you follow them, you will go back to Antaryami in the same way. In the same way you can get back there. So, so all the thought waves, all the actions is all originating from there, from the Antaryami. and it is like a mantra, they say, that you are chanting there, and that is why chanting the holy name is also like that. If you continuously chant, you are supposed to realize, eventually you have to realize the self. Continuously if you chant for a long period of time. And there is no necessity for, why? Because sound is also a manifestation of the Atma inside. Remember that Krishna mentions this, Sayasha Jivo Vira Prasudhi, that verses in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th chapter and 11th canto. That if you continuously chant, Krishna is already there inside, Antaryami is already present there. We can't see that. But once you started chanting, the result will be that everything else will be lost. And it will go and touch the Antaryami and in due course to the Para Shakti. Para Pashyandi Madhyama Vaikari. It said through Vaikari you are going back towards Pashyandi Madhyama and Para. Para Pashyandi Madhyama Vaikari. So going back to Madhyama, Pashyandi and Para. That Paranadam is Krishna. Paranadam is Krishna. That is the process of chanting the holy name. Holy name takes us back to the original sound where it's coming from. So, similarly, Krishna says here, all actions in the same way. Here we are following the sound in the chanting the holy name. Similarly, all the actions also becomes like chanting. All towards, addressed towards the Antaryami. And where is it happening? It's all happening due to the presence of the Antaryami. All the thought waves, they are coming from the Atma. And similarly, you cannot go anywhere else. You are already tied down everywhere. Because you can see this example in the Bhagavatam very much. If you will, if you think, understand this principle, what Krishna is talking about. When Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu were fighting each other, Prahlada was saying to Hiranyakashipu that I get my strength from Vishnu. And he told Hiranyakashipu also, you also get your strength from Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu says, where is this Vishnu? I want to find him, he says. And what is more interesting there is that Hiranyakashipu goes to Vaikuntham looking for Vishnu. It's there in the Bhagavatam. He goes to Vaikuntham. Then you start thinking, he has got free access to go to Vaikuntham and then he comes back. When he goes there, Vishnu is not there. So somebody asked Vishnu, where did you go? He said, I got inside him, so he couldn't see me. That was his answer. Vishnu says, I was hiding inside him. What does that say? What is that telling us? We are also like that. Vishnu is inside. We are looking for him outside everywhere. Just like Hiranyakashipu did. Isn't it? So Vishnu's answer was, Balamme Vaikuntham. He says here, where do you get this strength? Prahlada says, I'm getting the strength from the same source where you are getting the strength. Strength is only one. Source is only one for all power in this world. You are tapping in one way, I'm tapping from the other side. But the source is the same. Source is the same. So similarly, he says here that Hiranyakashipu did not realize this. Hiranyakashipu thought everybody is separate, separate, separate. You got your power, I got my power. This is Hiranyakashipu's philosophy. Whereas Prahlada is saying here, the power what you have got, power what I have is coming from the same source. There is no difference at all. So therefore, what happened was that Prahlada says to Hiranyakashipu that the same source is present everywhere. Hiranyakashipu got very upset. He looked at the pillar and wanted to make a joke of it. Say, is he in the pillar? He said. Prahlada says, yes. There is not even a crack in the pillar. There is not even a crack in the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu got so angry with Prahlada and says to him, you're talking nonsense now. How can he get in? I can't even see a crack that he has got in. Prahlada says, I am only seeing him. I can't see the pillar, he says. Prahlada says, I can't see the pillar. I am only seeing him there. That is Prahlada's vision. So immediately Hiranyakashipu pulled out his sword and wanted to kill Prahlada. He says, you are talking nonsense. He said, I've sent you to school to understand, to study like this, he said. So he was getting upset with him. But didn't happen. Divyohi amrita purushaha sabahya abhyandarobi ajaha Aprabnohi amana shugraha is akshara paradarangaha. You will see Mundaka Upanishad, if you look, you will see there this spoken in a nice way. It says here, pranam, our energy, mind, where does it go and dissolves at the night? Where does it go and disappear? And where does it take birth in the morning when we want to engage in action? And where does it dissolve? And therefore, it says here, always being conscious of that source, where it's coming from. And that is what Krishna calls it as Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means becoming conscious of that source where everything is happening. Where everything is happening. In the Bhagavatam, the word used is avismritihi. Avismriti. Vismriti means forgotten. Vismriti means forgotten, isn't it? So, removing that forgetfulness. Actually, it is there, but we have forgotten that it is there. Andriyam is there. So, removing that forgetfulness, and it is not like things which are outside, how you remember about that. For example, suppose I leave this book here, and I may forget to take it with me when I go. I can forget that easily. But forgetfulness of something what I am carrying with me is different. It is always there inside me, isn't it? And therefore, I don't have the smriti of a thing like what I have now with me. And remembering this book and remembering the self is different. The book, I can leave it here, I can go. But Alma, I can't leave anywhere. I have to be with it all the time. If I forget Alma, then I am finished. That is what that Vismriti means. In the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, 12th chapter, there is two verses. Avismriti Krishna Padara Vindayo, one verse says. The very next verse says, Avismriti Sridhara Pada Padmam. Two verses, both verses talking about this forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, which means forgetfulness of Atma inside, Andaryami inside. In the 12th canto you will see, 12th chapter, those verses. So, avismriti. Now, if I have to remember this book, suppose I left the book here, I gone home, then I remember, I have forgotten the book at the center point. I have to get it tomorrow when I come back. I have to pick it up. That means I require my mind to work. I require my thought power to do that. Is it not? But this Andaryami, I don't require the mind. I don't require the thought power. It's awareness. As soon as I know Krishna is inside, if I become aware of that, without the help of the mind, without the help of thought waves, I can be in touch with Him. His existence and awareness is there in me. I don't need mind to know that Atma is there. Krishna is there inside. I don't need anything. That is the difference between the two, I'm saying. If any object outside me, I require my mind, I require my thoughts, to keep it with me. Is it not? If I remember this book that I've lost it, when I go home, if I remember this, I need my mind and memory and thoughts. Only then I will remember this book. It's not in my awareness, it's in my memory. Whereas Krishna's presence, Andaryami inside, Bhagavatam is telling us, is not like that. It's different. That is always with you, and you can't go away from Him. I can't say, I leave my Atma here for a while and go away somewhere else and come back and take it up tomorrow. I can't do that, because I am that. So, here it is awareness, here it is memory. Here it is memory, here it is awareness. That is the big difference. That is why, you remember, Nityanirupa Nijalaba Nivrta Trishna, that famous verse in the Rishabhadev's episode, when he says, Nityanibhudi Nijala, Nityanibhudi, continuously you can never separate yourself from that force inside, Andaryami inside. So when we say all these things, sometimes it's very difficult to know whether you have got the point or not, what we are talking about. Or you're just listening and saying, yes, yes, yes. I don't know. How do I know? Because it is a different kind of subject, isn't it? It's not something we are used to. We are only used to mind and senses and intelligence and memory and all that. All objects outside. Always used to talk about things outside, outside, outside. When we are talking about Atma inside, we get a doubt that is that something going in or not? Whether it's working or not, or it's getting inside or not? In order to clarify that, Krishna has spoken the next words.
Yata pravrtir bhodanam yena sarvam idam tadam sukarmana tamabhyarchya siddhim vindati manavam yata pravrtir bhodanam yena sarvam idam tadam sukarmana tamabhyarchya siddhim vindati manavam.
That's it. Yada pravartir bodhanam yenam sarvamidam tatam sokarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. Krishna says, the worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. We'll understand that verse a little bit more. So here, in this verse, Krishna says here, yasmat pravrtihi, because that from whom all actions have come, all actions have come. That means Krishna, who is the Antaryami, present inside, from whom all the actions have come. Yena sarvam idam tadam. Yena sarvam, yatha pravrtir bhudanam, yena sarvam idam tadam. The force behind all actions, that force is in three forms. First thing, in the Bhagavatam it will say, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. Ichha Shakti means, first there has to have a desire inside. Then you require the knowledge to perform the action. Then you must have the power to act. That's the three things. First, you have to have the desire. That is called Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti means the power of desire. Then Jnana Shakti, the knowledge to execute the action, what is required. The knowledge is required. That is Jnana Shakti. And then finally, the ability to act, which is the Kriya Shakti. So, Ichha Shakti is the first movement inside, where it begins. A desire, in the form of a desire. Then, the pre-thinking. Pre-thinking what is required. And then, the execution of the action, isn't it? So all these three is begin from the Antaryami. Begin from the Antaryami. That means Krishna says, Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. All three of them, by whose presence it develops. That is the Chit Shakti. That is what is referred to as Chit Shakti. That Chit Shakti and worshipping Krishna, that Chit Shakti, with the same karmam that is coming from that Chit Shakti. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. See that verse? Yata pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvam idam tatam so karmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. See these three things, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. That means power of the power of desiring, the power of knowledge and the power of action. All three of them comes from the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti means Krishna, Satya Chitta Anandam, that Chit Shakti in us. That's where it's coming from. So, Krishna says, because it comes from the Chit Shakti, using those power to worship the Chit Shakti, that is what he is pointing out here. That yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvam idam tatam. Yena sarvam idam tatam means these three forces that's coming from the Chit Shakti, using them to worship the Chit Shakti. all our power to desire also requires some power, isn't it? Ability to desire something. So all the desires, all your knowledge of to execute the actions, and all the action capacity for to act, all of them, if it is utilized to worship the Chit Shakti, that is what he is referring to. Yada pravrtir bodhanam yena sarvamidam tadam. Yena sarvamidam tadam. And sokarmanatam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. If that karma is executed in the proper way, siddhim vindati manava, that person will become perfect and he will get liberated. Krishna is saying, siddhim vindati manava, he can be liberated. This is Bhagavata Dharma. In another way it is spoken here. Kayena vaja manasendriyerva, that same verse is spoken here in a different way. That's all. That only thing is, little bit more technically Krishna has spoken here. There it was spoken more on a grosser level, in the sense actions from the body, mind, senses, from external level. But here, little bit more on a subtle level. Krishna is saying, where do they come from? All that thoughts, all that actions, all your desires, everything, whatever comes through the body, mind, senses, intelligence, everything. Kayena vaja, mind, manasendriyerva, buddhyalpanava, all that is prakriti svabhavat. It is a istonda svabhav that's coming. And karmavi yadit sagalam parasmai, turning them all, because they cannot happen in the absence of the chit shakti inside, andaryami inside. So only in the presence of Antaryami, those things can happen. Those things can happen. Because you can see whether it is the body, whether it's the mind, whether it's intelligence, whether it's ego, senses, whatever it may be, they are acting based on the svabhavam which is coming from the prakriti. Svabhavam comes from the prakriti, is it not? Svabhavam comes from the prakriti. But the power to act, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, comes from Chit Shakti, Atma. So, Krishna's point is, even though they are coming according to the svabhavam, it can only be executed in the presence of Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Only when three are present there it can happen. If you turn all these activities and offer it to that same Chit Shakti, how to do that? That is what is Bhagavata Dharma is all about. Bhagavata Dharma is all about. And that is what they have all done. Whether it is Dharma Vyasa or Nisargadatta or any other, Ramana Maharshi, all of them did exactly the same thing. That they have realized this, that Alma is the source, not the Prakriti. They did not care about the Svabhavam, what Prakriti does. Prakriti was not important for them. The source was important for them. They stayed with the source. They didn't stay with the Prakriti. We stay with the Prakriti and we ignore the source. They ignore the Prakriti and they stay with the source. This is the big difference between the realized persons and the ordinary people. We get absorbed in the Prakriti all the time, isn't it? What Prakriti does, and we try to correct the Prakriti. Prakriti, you can't do anything. Prakriti will work its own way. And Prakriti has this svabhavam inside, is instituted by the Prakriti according to the modes of nature, sattugunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. There we have no freedom in all those things. That is the important point. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam mridivada purnam radaswadanam sarvatna subanam param nijayve shri krishna sankirtanam नाम्नामगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि दानेविदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैव मीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारवेशुनीचेन तरोरवे सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कृतनीय सदा हरि धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीम् कविदां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदार्भक्तिरहे दुगित्वै अहि नन्ददनुजकिङ्करं पतितामहं शमे भवाम्बुदौ Kripaya tava pada pankaja sthita duli sadrisham vichindaya Nayanam galadashrutharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulajayam jidam gadavapu tavannama grihane bhavishyati Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshava padaradam finishtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuvam Yadadadava vidadadulam padav Malpranadatha sunayevana param
Sve sve karmani abhirata samsiddhim labhade nara swakarma niradam siddhim yada vindadi takshrunu yada pravartir 46 yada pravartir bodhanam yena sarvamidam tadam swakarmanatam abhyarchyam siddhim vindadi manavam. So, these two verses, after Krishna has spoken about three modes of material nature, how they influence our jnanam, karmam, kartha, buddhi, dhridhi, and finally sukham. Six things he has spoken before. How the three modes of material nature influences them, that we have seen before. Is it not? Jnanam, karmam, kartha, buddhi, dhridhi and sukham. All these things are affected by the three modes of material nature. And accordingly, they come under satyam, rajas and tamasam in three categories. All of them. That we have discussed first. After that, Krishna said to us that the necessity of creating this varnam in the society. He spoke that, did he not? You remember when we talked about these verses when he said that, when he says that, that is in the Vishayendriya Samyoga, 38th verse, Yattad Agre Amrudopamam Pariname Vishamayon Tatsukam Rajasam Smridam. And similarly Tamasam 39. And then he says, there is nothing in this world, in the whole creation, Krishna says, there is nothing in the whole creation outside the three modes. That's how Krishna started. To stress that importance of three modes. There is nothing in the creation outside the three modes. And because it is like that, Krishna saying that I need to have certain things which are favorable for spiritual life, which is sattvikam. Everything is sattvikam. He mentioned that at that time, is it not? And that is how these four varnam has come. He said that in the society you will see certain people with certain qualities. Shamam dhamat tapashaujam shandirarjavam evacha jnana vijnana mastikyam brahma karma sabhavajam. People with that quality operating in this world. Which one? Shamam dhamam tapasa shaujam shandirarjavam jnana vijnana mastikyam. If anyone is operating with those qualities, Krishna saying, you can take it that it is the brahmana sabhav. Take that as brahmana sabhav. Then Krishna also said, that shauryam tejasa dhruddhi dakshyam yuddhejapya abalayanam dhanam ishvara bhavam. If you see that nature in this world, Krishna says take that as the kshatra subhav. Kshatriya nature is working. He did not say referring to individual. More what he said was, it is that Swabhavam is working through them. That is how he puts it. You see, you have to see the way how Krishna says these things. Krishna is saying to us that generally the modes of nature is present, the three modes of nature. When it works through shamam damam tapasya, shaujam chandi arjavam jnanam vijnanam, when you see that happening through someone, you say that the brahmana swabhavam is working in that person. And in someone else, shaujam tejasya dhriti dakshyam yuddeja pyabhalayanam dhanam isharabhavam, if all these things you see in someone, you can take that kshatra swabhavam is working in that person. Similarly, he said, in somebody else whom you see a lot of desire to make money, wealth, krishi, gauraksha, vanijyam, all these desires, is you can say that vaishya karma, vaishya swabhavam is working in that person. And in someone else, parijaryalpagam buddhi, shudra karma swabhavajam, shudra as nature is working through him. Like this, he spoke about four swabhavam rather than the varnam. He spoke about the four swabhavam operating in this world, and this you will see everywhere in the world. This nature, everywhere in the world, in different degrees, that's all. You will find that. So, Krishna also told us, try to understand this, how these three different modes have influenced the society. In the Satyugam, only human species were, everybody has shamam damam, tapasya, shaujam, chandi, arjavam, all those qualities are present in everybody in the Kriyayugam, Satyugam. Later on, in the Tridayugam, when a necessity came, and that's how Kshatriyas were born. The necessity was this, some of the Brahmanas were infected with the Rajogunam. So when they got infected with Rajogunam, that means due to association with the modes of nature, and there they have been, you can practically say, attacked by the Rajogunam. And the result was that they turned out to be Kshatriyas. Their nature changed. They became Kshatriyas. So Brahmanas became Kshatriyas like that. And then after that, some of them got further deteriorated. They developed this desire for making money. What does that mean? It means for sense enjoyment. What for do you make money otherwise in this world? Isn't it to enjoy? When that desire came in them, in the same people, when that desire came, they developed those qualities of krishi, gauraksha, vanijyam. That was the activities they started. In other words, they were quietly moving away from the process of self-realization. When they were brahmanas, they were always thinking about the truth. Then they were conscious that they were not the body. When they became kshatriyas, bodily concept of life was coming strongly by them. That's why kshatriyas got that dhanam, ishvara bhavam. All that is a kshatriya nature. Ishvara bhavam is what? It's a bodily identity, is it not? Dhanam ishvara bhavascha, kshatra karma swabhavajam. So, and fighting against the other. Fighting is based on what? Based on the body, isn't it? So, bodily identity increased from Satyugam. It got worse. And when he became more bodily identity developed, they became kshatriyas. Further, when they wanted to use the body for sense enjoyment, they got further degraded and they became vaishyas. And finally, when they got so degraded that the only occupation in life is just to enjoy the body, they became shudra. This is how this change happened. If you know this history, you won't feel bad about it, because this is how it happened in the human species. How one time in Satyugam, when brahmanas who were fully conscious who they were, when they were fully conscious who they were, that they are not the body, and those very people, by the time Kaliyugam came, they only knew that they were the body, nothing else. See how changes happen? From one yugam to another yugam to another yugam. That is why when we lost that awareness or self-consciousness inside, and we became more affected by the body, and kshatriyas we became, and that is when yagam, yajnam and all started. Because who performed yagam and yajnam? The kshatriya kings. They performed the yagam, yajnam. Brahmanas didn't have the money to perform them. Yagam, yajnam, all this yagam, yajnam, yajurvedam and all is in the Tridayugam that happens. Everything happened in that time. That is when Vedam was divided into this four. One Vedam got divided like this into four. Due to what? Due to the same modes of nature. Remember that? That modes of nature is responsible for that also. One Vedam got divided into four due to the modes of nature. Nothing else. Similarly, one society divided into four, again due to modes of nature. Modes of nature has done all these things. And similarly, when it came to Dwapara Yugam, people were not even satisfied with Yagam, Yajnam. They have lost that capacity also. So therefore, by Dwapara Yugam, beginning of Dwapara Yugam, end of Treta Yugam itself, temple constructions, temple worship, everything started. Because mainly people responsible for that at that time were the Vaishyas who had the wealth. And they started building temples. And temple worship became necessary. Why? Because the Antaryami inside concept is completely disappeared. And people became more and more identified with forms and names and places and deities and form worship. In other words, image worship became very prominent. We will see that in the 28th chapter in the 11th canto, when Krishna discusses Kriya Yogam, he will say these things. Original Vedic culture doesn't have the deity worship. It is a later, it has come into Vedic philosophy at a later date. In the Satyugam, you don't see anywhere deity worship going on. It was mostly meditation, penances, austerities. Those qualities were strongly present in the people, in the human society. So by Dwapara Yugam, it has come to that stage, deity worship. And because we could not even remember that Krishna is inside, completely lost the memory. The human species has become like that. We have completely lost our remembrance of Krishna's presence inside. So then to develop a relationship with Krishna, we started the deity worship. And deity worship became prominent in Dwapara Yugam. And now, in Kali Yugam, even that is not working, isn't it? That is why Bhagavatam says, holy name as the shelter. Kriteja dhyayate Vishnu. You remember in the Bhagavatam this famous verse? Kriteja dhyayate Vishnu. People, dhyanam, meditation. They were conscious. Krishna is inside all the time. Not occasionally, all the time, that meditational mood, dhyanam stage. Kriteja dhyayade Vishnu. Tredayam yajado makhe. In Tredayagam yajnam. All the time yajnam. Dwapare parijariyayam. In Dwapara Yugam, it is completely parijaranam. That means deity worship. And kalautad harikirtanal. In Kali Yugam, it is chanting the holy name. That is the only thing that will work. All other things are difficult. Things are difficult. In the Kali Yugam, you can see the problems. Even in the deity worship, there is difficulty. But kalautad harikirtanam. Harikirtanam is the process in the Kali Yugam. So after saying all that, Krishna spoke about the four varnam, how they have come into existence. And based on their swabhavam of these four varnam, Krishna has spoken there. And after that, Krishna's intention is not to teach us what happened in the past. Krishna's intention is to tell us what we should do now, today, what we should do. That is the point in these two verses Krishna is making to us. Prabhupada used to quote this verse 42 very, very often. Very often he used to quote this verse. What he is saying here is that, not 46. 45 and 46 are together. 45 is telling us that in Kali Yugam, this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra will not be practical. Everybody is doing all kinds of work in this world to live here, to maintain the body. For maintaining the body, we have to accept varieties of jobs in this world, isn't it? And modern society creates new jobs all the time, if you notice that. Jobs didn't exist, they are created now. In the past, a man got married and has husband and wife live together. It's a family unit level. Now, the wife is addressed as a domestic engineer. That's her occupation. As a, she has been given a special occupation like that. So everything has become a job now. I don't know what the father's job is. Father, he has got, if he has not a job, something, they will find out something for that. Anyhow, everyone is put into some column, saying that you belong to this, you belong to that. Whatever it may be, Krishna is saying, that is the nature of the Kali Yuga. We need all these designations all the time, with some kind of identity, that I am this, I am that. When it is like that, Krishna says, whatever karmam you do, doesn't matter. Karmam is not everything. But that karmam, if you understand where is it coming from, where are these karmam coming from, where is the thoughts coming from behind that karmam, that is what we explain in the last verse. Ichashakti, Jnanashakti, Kriyashakti. Three things are necessary for executing the karmam. They come from Atma. Andaryami releases that for us to do that. Is it not? They come from, they are totally independent. Ichashakti, Jnanashakti, Kriyashakti. They come from Andaryami. Similarly, we will act in this world based on the Svabhavam which is provided to us by Prakriti, material nature. According to our Prakriti, how she operates within us, our Svabhavam will tell what kind of karmam we will be engaged in this world. And the power to do that karmam, the desire and the knowledge and the action required will come from Andaryami. What Krishna is saying to us, know very well that Ichashakti, Jnanashakti and Kriyashakti, all three of them, the origin is Andaryami, the self inside. He says here, Yada Pravirtir Bodhanam Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. That source where it's coming from, in whose presence only this karmam will happen. Karmam cannot happen if Andaryami is not there. Chittavritti cannot happen if Andaryami is not there. That is Krishna's point. So why bother about Chittavritti and bother about karmam? Bother about Andaryami. That is the point Krishna is stressing here. Instead of worrying about your karmam, instead of worrying about the Chittavritti, worry about that Andaryami in whose presence all karmam is happening, all Chittavritti is happening. And we got habituated to think that I am the doer of everything, karmam. All karmam is done by me and I am looking for the results. We forget the fact that in the absence of karmam also, that me is still there. Where is, who is that me? When you ask that, you will know that the person who took the ownership of the karmam and who is expecting the results of the karmam is not the real me, it is the false ego. That will come to understand later. Because he pops up only when there is karma. Or he pops up only when there is a strong chittavritti. Otherwise he is missing. Where is ahankaram? He is very dormant at that time. He is not present there. But he comes up when there is a karma. Is it not? And he comes and says, oh, I have done everything and I am looking forward to this, we say. Or I am expecting these results from that. So ahankaram or false ego comes up only at the time when karmam comes. Similarly, when a strong thought wave comes, anger or greed or lust or any kind of emotion develops, he comes up again, taking ownership of that. He comes and says, I am the one who is doing it. So from this, Krishna is saying, you have to understand that when they are not present, no karmam, no chittavritti, thought waves inside, he goes away. But all these things can happen only in the presence of Andaryami, super soul inside. So that is the point spoken in this verse. Yada pravirtir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam so karmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna is saying there that a person who has come to that stage, who is able to accept this, he says that so karmanam tam abhyarcha. Whatever may be his karmam, he will become perfect in spiritual life. Siddhim vindadi manava. It does not matter, but you have to live in this world with this knowledge. Only then. If this knowledge is inside, so karmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Krishna says he will become perfect eventually. He will become perfect eventually. That is the guarantee Krishna says. And that is what Krishna says is Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam means these words. This is nothing but a repetition of the other words, kayena vaja manasendriyarva, but spoken in a much more subtle level. So here, that all these siddhim vindadi manava. So all the actions are coming from Antaryami. And yena sarvam idam tatam, which means that he is the force behind all our actions. Yena sarvam idam tatam. First one is yada pravrtir bhudani. All pravrti, actions of all the living entities is coming from him. Yada pravrtir bhudani. Second one is yena sarvam idam tatam. He is the force behind all the actions, which means the power of desire, the power of knowledge, and the power of actions. All three of them. Because as you know that, first the desire has to be there for any action to happen. That's the first movement inside. Then the thinking behind it, how it has to be executed, and finally the action. So all these things, Icha, Jnanam, Kriya, all of them happens in the presence of the Antaryami. And that is coming, Antaryami is referred to here as Chit Shakti, in other words. They are one and the same, no difference at all. Antaryami and Chit Shakti is one and the same. Chit Shakti is that aspect of Antaryami which comes in the form of mind, actions and all other thought waves. So how to execute that? That is what Krishna is saying here. That whatever action is happening, if you are conscious of this verse, this particular verse, yada pravrtir bhudhanam yena sarvam idam tadam so karmanantam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava, that you will realize that nothing exists in this world except Krishna. It is from Krishna everything is coming, and it is always going back to Krishna finally, isn't it? So to realize this, bhakti is required. That is the important principle. So, but it's no point in to realize this verse, bhakti is required. It is through bhakti you realize this. It's no use realizing this intellectually. Intellectually now we understand what the verse is saying, isn't it? But in practical life, this to happen, it has to become our realization. Two different things altogether. So you can see here, that what the Krishna calls that as the sokarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. It means if it becomes our bhavam, that means our in our awareness, in our experience, bhavam is the nature of the mind. It's the nature of the mind. Because mind is a product of bhavam. How your mind will function in this world, mind is considered to be a bhava padartham. Padartham means it's a product of your bhavam. Whatever bhavam you have, it's a product of that is your mind. Your mind will be like that. So if this bhava padartham or the mind, if does not get absorbed in this thoughts, not intellectually accepting it, but realizing it within, then you will see there, even if you have understood with intelligence the principle behind it, it won't work. So, intellectual acceptance of this verse is no good. What's the point Krishna is saying here? Intellectual acceptance of this verse is not going to make any difference. But if this verse, if you have accepted in heart, and you have become that in your dealings in this world, in your life in this world, Krishna says, irrespective of what karmam that person is doing, he will attain perfection in life. That is what Krishna is stressing here. An example is there in Maharashtra, when all these, because these are the best examples for these verses. The devotees who came with the, at the time when the the saints who appeared at Jnaneshwar, Namadev, Tukaram, and so many others at that time. So one of those devotees, he had a garden, vegetable gardens. And the way he cultivated, he never went to the Pandharpur temple. He always cultivated his, in his garden, vegetables, and he used to see them growing and he used to recognize Krishna is present in all these forms. To that level he has reached. Such a person, there was no need for him to go to the temple. When he starts seeing Krishna's presence in everything what he has grown in the vegetable garden, that included all kinds of vegetables what he was growing there, and he looked after them so well as a gardener, watered them well, did the weeding and given the manure, whatever what was necessary. And his whole garden was full of vegetables, what he has grown. But all the time when they appeared, he used to say, Panduranga has appeared in this form, in the form of a lady's finger or karela or some other drumstick or whatever way, fruits, banana, whatever that he has grown. He says, Panduranga has appeared in these different forms. That was his realization. That is exactly fits in with this verse. Sokarmanam tam abhyarsya siddhim vindadi manava. That means his consciousness was such that all the time he is aware that Krishna is working in this world in everything. Krishna is present there. So, and who is saying this thing? That Jnaneshwar is talking about this, about him. And this, and one day, Jnaneshwar and Namadev's time, they wanted to find out that he is such a nice personality and one of the great souls, but he won't come to the temple. So they went after him, looking for him eventually they found that he was working in the garden. When they looked, what did they see? They saw Panduranga standing next to him. Jnaneshwar saw this and says to Namadev that, look, what need for him to come to the temple? Panduranga is going to see him. That stage has happened to him. So you can see what Krishna says, that in this age, that they are the best examples to look at. How they have realized it and how in their practical life they lived that life. For him, what deity worship now? He has come to that level now that everywhere, Sokarmanantam Abhyarcha Siddhim Vindani Manava, he has come to that perfection. So for them, as far as he is concerned, his bhakti is not different from his action. His action is bhakti at that time. Is it not? It has come to that state now. Any action what he is doing, whole day he is working in the garden with his body, mind and intelligence, everything. And whatever the results that's coming from that, he is saying Krishna is coming like this. Panduranga has come like this. He says like that. So for them, in that state, his work, karmam and bhakti is not different. It becomes one in this state. When sokarmanam tam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava, it's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That is what Krishna Prabhupada was trying to get this point across. Sometimes we may not have understood that, but principle hasn't changed. That remains true then and now. Prabhupada's principle was also the same point he was saying. Sokarmanam tam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. Siddhim vindadi, you will become perfect, Krishna. Prabhupada says, Krishna says the same thing. He says, you will become perfect, whatever karmam is performed, provided it should not be treated as a karmam anymore. It is bhakti and karmam becomes one. That karmam itself becomes bhakti then. Karmam itself has become bhakti. Why? Because this reason, what we have spoken before, that Antaryami inside is doing various things through this body. And therefore, whatever that is happening, the power to engage in that karmam comes from Krishna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj said, isn't it? Yonda pravishya mimavacha mimam prasuttam. He put it in a verse form. That's all it is. In message, it is the same thing, what we are talking about. So, sometimes because of that, what will happen is that we may, due to this misunderstanding, how can bhakti and karmam become one? How is that possible? Therefore, sometimes we will say, oh, I have to go to the temple, only in temple there is Krishna, and you will ignore all your other work. But Krishna is saying, don't ignore that. Change that in such a way and develop this consciousness that Krishna has put me into this situation today. Whatever it may be, doesn't matter. That is where I am now. Like he put Kaliya in one situation, he put us in another situation. That's all it is. So whatever situation we have been put in, able to remain in that state and execute Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not only chanting, accepting what Krishna is saying to us. When he says here, so karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava, that means Krishna is expecting us that even our karmam should become bhakti. Karmam should also become bhakti. So, and we have to find time for that, to convert this in that way. If it does not get converted, otherwise we will start thinking, oh, I have to do my work, that's my material life. I'll go to the temple and that's my spiritual life. If you make this separation, it won't work. Separation doesn't make any sense. Because there is no material life, spiritual life. There's only one thing, spiritual life. Material life is due to the body we have. Therefore, material life has become. So, therefore, material life is the one which has to go. Therefore, Krishna is saying, make spiritual everything. Don't make everything material. What we have done is, we have made even spiritual life material. Instead of making material life spiritual, we have made spiritual life also a material thing. So, that is where this problem Krishna is saying. So, karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim indadi manavam. So, bhakti swarupam, the nature of bhakti, is to convert that also into what Krishna says here, yena sarvam idam tadam, he says here. So, yena sarvam idam tadam means, Krishna, who is Antaryami, who is present throughout in our body, present as consciousness, and who is, and induced through the consciousness only, we experience all our karma. Is it not? Anubhava mandalam, it is called. Anubhava mandalam means to experience Krishna. How do you experience Krishna? In your awareness, is it not? Krishna's presence in us is experienced through awareness. Through awareness we experience Krishna. That awareness is Krishna. If Krishna is not there, we won't know anything about our karma. We won't know anything about our bhakti. There is no bhakti. There is no karma either. But when Krishna is present inside, there is bhakti, there is karma. And that is what Krishna is saying here. How do you worship Krishna? So karmanantam abhyarcha. Abhyarcha. Abhyarcha means how to worship Krishna. In this way, you can do that in any way. Why? So karmanantam abhyarcha. Whatever karma you are performing, it has to be accepted that Krishna is doing that through this body. The best example was Kabir. Kabir was he used to weave clothes, isn't he? Weaving. Weaving was his occupation. Like so many others, weaving was his occupation. And many people asked him, after he became very famous, realization, self-realized and all, he became a great devotee, and had many times darshan of Ramachandra and became very famous. At that time many people asked him, give up this profession, why do you want to do this? Particularly even the great kings who used to visit him. So they told him that we will look after you, we will maintain you, we don't have to do these things anymore, weaving these clothes. And what was his answer? Kabir says, I'm worshipping Ramachandra by weaving these clothes. This was his answer. Because whoever is wearing these clothes, he says, they will develop devotion to Ramachandra. Because in every thread that is gone in weaving these clothes, Ramachandra has gone along with that, he says. Because he was chanting all the time Ramachandra's name. Kabir is the best example. And I made this cloth, he says, through the holy name of Ramachandra. And even today, if you go to Benares, there is a Kabir Chowk there, where Kabir lived at that time. And there they have still kept that, the spinning wheel of Kabir, because Kabir was not that long ago. So there is a small museum-like thing where Kabir used Kabir's spinning wheel and other tools, what he has used for weaving clothes, they have kept there for people to see. Just to tell us that a great soul like him had used this verse. This is what Krishna is talking about. So karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Perfection is possible even in that way. So, and till the last moment in his life, he did that job. like Nisargadatta did with the with his bidi making. Kabir did weaving the clothes, and Tukaram carried on with his shops all to the last minute. All of them became realized all on the strength of this verse. That's the glory of this verse. This verse is practically a confirmation of their perfection in life, how they perfected in their life.
Yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam swakarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava.
Siddhim vindadi manava. So, that is the important thing there. Siddhim vindadi manava. So, then the next thing is that what Krishna says here is that
yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam swakarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava.
Now, this brings another question. What's the question? Question is this. These are people who never gave up their work in this world and practice spiritual life while working in this world. They are the people who belong to this world. This verse is representing those, because everybody cannot leave the work straight away. It's not possible. Because you have come with the prarabdham and the karma vasana inside. And so long as they are there, it will push you to go to work. It will push you to act. That's not possible to come out of it. So those who have that, like the example, Tukaram or our Kabir, or as I mentioned before, that Chokamela, and many others like that. There are many like this. They all had some prarabdham to finish in that body. So therefore, escaping from karma was not possible for them. They couldn't think in that way. And majority of the people will belong to this category. Majority of the people will belong to this category. So that is why Bhagavad Gita's significance is here. That what should one do when he is stuck in life in this way? We are all stuck in different situations, isn't it? Different karma, different vasana, different prarabdham, different gunam, different modes, all different vasanas inside. When one is put into that situation, this verse is the answer for that. And then, there are people who have left all the work and walked away from here, walked out from the world. There are other people, like Ramana Maharshi and so many others, who have walked out from this world. So, not that they left it. Krishna is going to say that later. They didn't leave it. The work left them. That's what has happened. So, these are the two different types of people. It is based on that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Which one? Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Both people have got the chance. One who follows that Jnana Yogam process, their work has left them. So it was easy for them to go in that direction. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Others' work have not left them. Work is still holding them. Karma Prarabdham is still pushing them back. For them, Karma Yogena Yoginam. This is how these two processes will always be there. Karmam has left them on their own. And they could not do karmam anymore. That stage has come to them. Which means there was no more false ego inside. Who pushes for the karmam? False ego. Isn't it? Who takes pleasure in the karmam? False ego. Ahankaram. Ahankaram takes the pleasure in the karma. When Ahankaram thinks, if I do this, if I get this profit, or if I make a success, this is what will happen. So behind all happiness in the karma, it's Ahankaram behind that. Whereas these people in whom Ahankaram is completely gone, once the Ahankaram has gone, karma is difficult for them. Karma is difficult. Then any karma that comes through that body is only the body knows. Self is not
because they are situated in the self. So when you have offered all the karma or actions to Krishna, then that becomes situated in the platform of the knowledge of the self. You sit in the platform of the knowledge of the self. So here Krishna is saying here that that person who has come to that stage, he won't be thinking anymore, oh, I have to go here, I have to go there, and I have to do this, I have to do that. These things are present only in a person who is stuck in the karma. Is it not? Suppose I have karma influencing me very strongly. When we say that, you see that why that verse is so important. When Krishna says that, jnana yogena sangyanam karma yogena yoginam, what is the beginning? Krishna says, three, I think it. Yeah. Logesmin dvivida nishta pura prokta mayanaka jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. There itself, Krishna has spoken very precisely to us. Loke asmin dvivida nishta. You will only find these two categories of people in this world who are looking for perfection. He's not talking about people who are not interested in spiritual life. That's not Krishna's business. Krishna says they are driven by their prarabdham and karmam and prarabdham and karmam. They will go on like that. But those who want to escape from here, that's what Krishna is talking about. Loke asmin dvivida nishta. Dvivida means two kinds of nishta. They have two kinds of nishta. What is that? Pura prokta mayanaka. And that has been existing from time immemorial, he says. Pura prokta mayanaka. Why? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, one group. Karma yogena yoginam, another group. Karma yogena yoginam is this group. Which one? This one, what we are discussing now. This verse. That yena pravartir bodhanam. Yada pravartir bodhanam yenam sarvamidam tadam svakarmanantam abhyarchya siddhim vindadhima navaha. So that is that verse referring to that. And the other group is that karma has left them. So therefore, there is no planning inside. When you have karma, only you make plans. Is it not? Suppose there is no karma to be done, then there is no planning necessary. When there is a lot of karma to be done, you will get what? You will get your diary, you will write it down everything, every hour what you have to do, all planning starts then. And then you are saying to the world that I am very organized, you know. All you have organized is you organized your karma vasana. That's what you have organized. What you have organized is karma and your prarabdham. That's what you have organized it now in your diary and in your that thing. Outlook and everywhere. You're organizing your prarabdham, basically, isn't it? So here Krishna is saying for a jnani, that jnana yogena sankhyanam, for him there is no karma vasana inside. That is left him. So therefore, he doesn't require any of these things, what we have got now. We need them because karma yogena yoginam, we are karma yogis, aren't we? So, that's where the difference is. So him, he doesn't have to think, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do this, I have to do that. Those things have gone away from him. Once it so happened, a devotee told one sannyasi that I want to go and into the top of the ashrams in Himalayas and stay in a cave there and engage in meditation, he told him. But when I went there and sat down for meditation, it's not working, he said. I started thinking about all my work and duties, what I've got here. So what should I do, he said to this sannyasi. Sannyasi was living in an ashram somewhere in the land. But he goes up to him and says to him, that I tried going to some cave and living in the cave, because there's so many caves there in the Himalayas and Kedarnath, Badrinath, everywhere, and people come when they want to take spiritual life very seriously. But prarabdham is not gone. It's still there. They come there. And after a while, he realizes that it is not possible. So he come back again to this sannyasi and told him this. I went there, I spent a few months, but when it got very... I got bored after a while, he said. I couldn't sit there. So that is why when people say that, oh, it's better to give everything and go to the forest or go to the Himalayas, you can tell them, go and see, give it a try, see what happens. You won't be able to stay. You'll come back very soon from there. So when he came back and told the sannyasi that, what should I do? I tried this, it's not working. So the sannyasi told him, if you started building up a sangalpam, this is called a sangalpam. In your mind, you are building up some kind of strong, firm thought inside. You are giving more strength to it every day, thinking that, oh, I want to become a sannyasi, or I want to engage in meditation like that. So his sannyasi told him, if you strengthen that inside very strongly, what will happen? He said, you will have to take another birth to do that. Because that will become one of your prarabdham then. That will become one of your prarabdham. Because you may not have enough lifespan in this life now. You see, mind is like that. Mind creates a lot of sangalpam inside. And that sangalpam, which has become stronger, becomes vasana. Once it has become vasana, then that becomes prarabdham. And for that, to fulfill that, you have to have another body. So it develops in that way. So you can see here that the when people think like that, I'll go to Haridwar, or I'll go to Uttarakhand, or higher places, and live there. So, and going to do spiritual life at that time, that is not going to happen. Right now, wherever we are, whatever situation Krishna has put us in that state, we have to chant the holy name. Does not matter where it is, whatever conditions it may be. So wherever there is time, it should be utilized for chanting the holy name of Krishna. That is when this is important. That not to leave it for some other time in the future, thinking that another time, the right time has not come, right place has not come, or right situation is not right yet, my family problems are there. All those things are secondary. They cannot be taken as the goal of life. That means avidya, ajnanam is still inside. That is why it's not allowing us to do that. So, therefore, if you take that approach, you will see that Krishna will slowly pull you out of that prarabdha. Krishna will help. If we give space for Krishna, Krishna will create enough space for us. Only thing is, you have to give that space to Krishna. If you give space to Krishna, Krishna will create enough space for us. So, for example, sometimes in family life, there is problem. Family life, different problems will come. Householder life is meant for that, from beginning to end. It is the whole purpose of that is in the Bhagavatam, you can see, very openly spoken about it. So, just because there is problems at home, that should not be used as an excuse for not chanting Hare Krishna. That cannot be used for not chanting Hare Krishna. That's the point Krishna is making here. That because it is the simplest sadhana to perform compared to any other sadhana. Even if our prarabdham is too strong and forcing us to do various things in this world, chanting the holy name should not be an obstruction for that. Even in that stage, one has to chant the holy name. If we are cooking the food, we have to chant the holy name while cooking the food. If you have to do some other work also, as soon as something has to be done, after all we have to work in this world for maintaining this body. But that should not become the priority in life, working life. Instead, it has to be given the priority, chanting the holy name has to be given the priority. There was one person who worked in the office. He had a lot of problems at home. In the family situation was not very comfortable. But he took to chanting process very seriously. Even in the office he used to chant, whenever time allowed him to chant, wherever he had a break. But and when he had a lunch break and times like that, he used to chant. And in the evening time also, he would not go home straight away. After his work is over, he used to sit in the office and chant, because he knew when he got home, there will be plenty of demand from home to do various things. So that is how he spent his time. And in this way, he lived the rest of his life. And he mentions this in his memoirs. He says there that a situation happened in the office, that the department where he was working, he had a lot of work to do, and therefore practically it was difficult for him while working to do anything. But he used to do that in the evening after the working hours were over. And then they used to allow him to sit in the office and do whatever he wanted to do. But it so happened that in the office there was somebody who was playing a lot of politics. And there are people in every office you will find like this, who will do a lot of politics and who won't do any work. But they'll be very busy with the politics, especially in so many offices you will find like this. So this particular person also, there was one person who worked in a department, he won't do any work there because there was not much work either. And because there wasn't much work, he had plenty of time for his politics. He used to do that. So all his, because he was playing so much politics in the office, all the colleagues decided and they spoke to the human resources department that if you can transfer him to somewhere else where there is plenty of work to do, at least he'll be occupied. So they thought about that and they found out, if we can take this person out who is chanting the holy name, he wants time to chant and he is not a problem to anybody. If you bring him over to this department and take him out from there, the other person from there, and put him in his position here, that will be the best solution. And that's what they did. Why? Krishna says that if a person decided to come into spiritual life and wants to progress in spiritual path, if the desire is strong inside, I will create the space for him. That's the proof of that. These are, in so many people will vouch for this, what happened in their life. If you have decided to serve Krishna, and if you have a genuine desire to fulfill, to please Krishna, and to chant the holy name, naturally you will see even your material situation eventually will be adjusted by Krishna's arrangement. It will happen. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and that is what has happened to several others as well. And you can see that they chanted Ramachandra's name, Rama Rama, they chanted so many crores and crores of times they chanted. So this is one important, that is one important thing to realize while studying this verse. Yata pravrtir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tadam sokarmanantam abhyarchya siddhim vindadi manava. So, this particular person we were talking about, he chanted whole life in the office while he worked, and he retired from his working life and he continued to chant. And it was at that time, Krishna says there, that he has reached perfection in his life. Finally, he left this world with the holy name on the lips. Holy name on the lips. So, sukarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. These last two lines in this verse, sukarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava, is the guarantee Krishna is offering to us. That if we, irrespective of what karma we have to do in this world, if you still hold on to the holy name and chant the holy name, Krishna says, eventually you will become perfect. You will become perfect. So, and you can see this, Krishna has spoken many times before, is it not? Mayasakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Madashraya means what? Holding on to Krishna's guarantee. Whatever Krishna has given us guarantee, holding on to that. That is faith. That is Shraddha. That is ashrayam. Shelter means that. Shelter means not going and saying to Krishna, I want this, I want that. That is not shelter. Shelter means to put the faith in Krishna's words. To put the faith in Krishna's words. Krishna's words is, he says, sukarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim indadi manava. You will become perfect if you take Krishna's shelter.
Mayasakta Manapata Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. He mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Another verse he is saying, Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Ashrite Yadandiye. He says, dependence on Krishna is more important than the sadhana what we do. Dependence on Krishna is more important than the sadhana what we do. But that dependence has to be total, complete surrender and complete shelter. So, if you do like that, what will happen is, any person, any devotee, if who has done this, so karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manavam, for him, what will happen in due course of time, chitta shuddhi will come to him. Chitta shuddhi means, he will get purified easily. What happening here now is, through karma yogam, combined with bhakti, which is Bhagavata dharmam, that is what that verse is pointing at. Karma yogam combined with bhakti is this verse referring to. Eventually, it will develop into purification of his own existence. Chitta shuddhi will happen. And chitta shuddhi, once it happens, realization of the self becomes very easy then. You will realize who you are then, easily. The self-realization will happen to him. And one who has self-realized, for him there is nothing further to look forward to. And that is why Krishna is saying here, all his vasanas will be thrown away, he'll get established in the self, and karmam is not more an obstacle for him in his life. Karmam is not an obstacle for him in his life anymore. That is the point Krishna is making here. So therefore, without giving up the karmam, and that karmam has to be executed. Sometimes Krishna says there, you may think that, oh, my swadharmam, my dharmam or karmam that has come to me is not very good. There is so many defects in that. And you may start comparing your own karmam with somebody else's karmam. And start saying, look at this, his karmam, he has got such a nicely situated. His karmam is very good. And nothing wrong with him. Why shouldn't I go and do that karmam and give up my karmam? And why shouldn't I do that? Because that karmam looks without any flaw, defect in that. My karmam has got a lot of problems in there. And it is not very good for my spiritual life. I may think like that. Krishna says, never do that, he said. Never make that step, mistake. And that is why he says here in the next verse. If you look at it, you will see that. Shreyan swadharma vigunam paradharmal svanushtidal svabhava niyadam karma kuruvannapnodi kilbisham shreyan swadharma vigunam paradharmal svanushtidal svabhava niyadam karma kuruvannapnodi kilbisham. Another important verse. When we don't understand the subtlety of all these verses, we will go and do things and we'll make our own ideas about karma, our own ideas about spiritual life, our own ideas, we will carry on doing things. In order that we don't do that, that is why Krishna is saying this to us. In the previous verses, Krishna has explained to us that any karma, and with various examples like Chokamela, and also Dharma Vyadha, and again, this other person we talked about, all of them, by their examples they have shown to us, Jnaneshwar, Tukaram particularly, all of them, through their actions you have seen that it is possible. It is possible to reach perfection. And they are those people who have become perfect, karma yogena yogina. Karma yogam plus they added bhakti to it. So therefore, it developed into this way. Sokarmanantam abhyarcha siddhim, and they attained siddhim vindadi manava. They became perfect. Now, normally, when we have working in this world, we will look at others. That's quite natural. And we will think that somebody else is very well situated in life, they got a good job and 9-to-5 job, yes, nothing else to worry about, sufficient money. Whereas my job, I have to toil a lot, 22 hours, I sometimes work hard, and the type of job is such that it is hampering my spiritual life. These thoughts will naturally come in our mind. It's nothing we can do about it. That is the way the modes works. Krishna is saying, when such thoughts come and you start thinking that why shouldn't I do the another job which is more favorable for spiritual life, Krishna says no, don't go in that direction. Why? Swakarmanam shrayan swadharmo viguna paradharmal swanushtidal swabhava niyatam karma kurvan naapnodi kelbisham. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. See that? This, if you say to somebody, they'll say, what's wrong with you? He says, you can do somebody else's karma perfectly. Remember I mentioned this before. Krishna don't look into the results of the karma, whether you have done it well or not done it well. That is not what Krishna is looking at. Krishna is looking at is this. After you have done the karma, has the vasana in you has gone? That's more important than how you have done the karma. Suppose you have some karma vasana inside in a particular way, and by executing that karma, if that vasana got completely wiped out from inside, from the subtle body, your karma is perfect as far as Krishna is concerned. Whereas in the world, outside world, they will look at every karma in a different way. They'll say, that's what Krishna is saying here. Even if you accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly, you have done it very well, the other is somebody else's karma, but your other karma vasana is still there, that has not gone away. Krishna says, it is not the right thing to do. It's a very important message, isn't it? Suppose you have some karma vasana inside, and by engaging in karma, that vasana is not gone. Instead, you have gone and done some other karma, and you have done it very well. What has happened now? This karma vasana still remain. From the new karma, you have created fresh vasana. That's also come now. So you have done damage to yourself, first thing. Secondly, when you are doing somebody else's karma, that causes problems in this world, is it not? So in every level, that is what Krishna is saying here. Shrayan so dharmo viguna paradharmal sanushtidal sobhava niyadam karma kurvan naapnodi kilbisham. That means by executing the karma, that swabhavam has to go from inside. Swabhavam is karma vasana. Karma vasana is swabhavam. That if the swabhavam you manage to wipe out from inside, then your karma is perfect. That is how Krishna sees the karma, not the way the world sees the karma. So I think we'll stop today and we'll start in the morning at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Can we leave everything here, Anil? Yeah, we can leave everything here. Yeah, okay. Yeah.